It's a new day. Yes, it is.
I am Vaughn Johnson.
You got me mad now.
You know, you got a bicycle.
Feeling good.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of...
Let me do this again. Oh, it's live, pal. Sorry.
We ride the bicycle in this arena.
With my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone.
That's me.
I don't know what the kid is that was riding it, but he ain't on it when they brought it to the ring.
Smile at you and kick your face off.
I'm down with that.
Keep you some man!
But I don't like it when things aren't going my way.
Don't you dare be sour!
Ooh. He don't know nothing else.
You know that wrestling.
Right, he know that wrestling, bro.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in internet land, and welcome to episode 296 of The Straight Shooters. Available wherever podcasts are found, including our home on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We got another double dose of the Straight Shooters this week, twofer this week. We're going to have, of course, our deep dive this week on SummerSlam 2000, coming up on episode 297. But for this episode, we got another special guest, another special interview, in the form of Ring of Honor's Mike Bennett. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I am good. I am alive. I just drove from Chicago to Carver, Massachusetts with two kids and a wife so I could visit my parents. So if I fall asleep, I apologize greatly.
I mean, you can use a good night of sleep after that. My goodness.
I sure could.
So how's everything going in the life of Mike Bennett right now? How's everything going for you?
You know what? Life is good. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things I could complain about, but first of all, I don't feel like it. And second of all, I'm sure nobody wants to hear me complain. But you know what? Considering the way the world is right now, everything could always be a hell of a lot worse. So I am just, I'm blessed. I got a healthy family. I'm healthy. So I'm just enjoying life as it comes to me at this point.
That's awesome to hear. You're going to see a happy and healthy Mike Bennett this Friday at the 2300 Arena in South Philadelphia, deep in the heart of South Philadelphia. Ring of Honor's Glory by Honor pay-per-view. Mike is competing on night one of the pay-per-view in the six-man tag. So, what are you looking forward to this weekend, man? Back in Philly, back in the 2300 Arena.
That's it. That's what I'm looking forward to. Philly was where I said goodbye to Ring of Honor. And so it's actually where I debuted in Ring of Honor. It's where I said goodbye at Ring of Honor. And now with fans there and just coming back after, you know, kind of a tumultuous 5 years, I would say. I don't know if that's, you know, the word I'm looking for, but it's kind of what it feels like.
That's fair. You went through a lot.
I'm excited. I'm really excited. The Philly fans have always treated me adequately. They've treated me the way you would expect. They hated me when they were supposed to, and they've liked me when they were supposed to. So I'm just really looking forward to going back to Philly because I've always enjoyed the hell out of it there.
And Mike is teaming up with PJ Black and Eli Isom to go up against Dak Draper, Danhausen, and Demonic Flamita, in this six-man mayhem match for the Ring of Honor World, for a spot, I should say, in the World Championship ranking. So that's a big match for everyone involved. Let's talk about you for a little bit. I mean,
sure.
What are you excited most about, you know, being in Ring of Honor right now?
You know what I'm really excited about is all the new talent that we have and all the guys that are coming up. And it's one of those things where, I mean, I could sit here and talk about the Briscoes and Jay Lethal and Matt Taven and Dalton Castle, but everybody knows those guys. Those guys are established. What I'm looking forward to are the Elis and the Dax. You know, these guys that people might not be 100% familiar with, because I watch them when we do these bubble tapings and we've had these pay-per-views and I see these guys perform. I'm blown away by them. And especially someone like Eli and someone like Dak, who I know Dak has kind of been around the way and he's gone down to NXT before. Eli, someone I wasn't really familiar with. And man, he can go. He can absolutely go. And I've kind of reached this point in my career where I'm not looking to get signed. I'm not looking to make a name for myself. I'm looking to have fun, and I want to have fun in the ring with guys that also want to just go kick ass and just tear it down. And when I see someone like Dak or I see someone like Eli, they get me super pumped because I see the passion they have for it. So, you know, just honestly, stepping into these ring, stepping in the ring with these new guys, this new pure division, I'm super stoked for, super pumped for. And not only that, but then the women's division that Maria's killing it with. There's just a lot of cool things going on right now in Ring of Honor.
You know, to kind of piggyback off that, Mike, you're not like exactly an old head, but you're a veteran. You've been here for a while. Are the younger guys in Ring of Honor right now kind of coming to you for advice? And because, you know, you've had, like you said, a tumultuous 5+ years. You know, what's that like with the younger guys being around them?
You know what? It's cool being at Ring of Honor because they are coming up to me and they're asking me for help and they're asking me for advice. And like, I'm a very humble person. Sometimes my wife will say I'm humble to a fault, where like I don't put myself in any category. So like I'm still shocked and amazed. Like I say it at the end of every interview, I'm humbled when guys like you guys want to talk to me, because who the hell am I? Like, I'm just a small town kid from Carver, Massachusetts. But the fact that people actually give a crap about what I have to say will never cease to amaze me, because it always blows my mind. So to have like you said, I'm only 36. I still feel like I have a lot to give this industry and this business, but to have guys come up to me and be like, hey, like I watched you and you inspired me to get into the wrestling, or the old school kingdom was the reason why I loved Ring of Honor. And can you help me with this, or put this match together, or will you at least sit down and watch it? It's awesome. I love it. It's one of those things that like my wife will tell you, I'm so grateful that I could do that at Ring of Honor, because it just makes me feel like I'm appreciated. And one of the things I always say is go where you're appreciated, not tolerated. And Ring of Honor and the guys and the girls there definitely appreciate me. So it's a really cool feeling.
No, I was going to say, it does feel like there's a lot of positive vibes around Ring of Honor recently. We just spoke to Ian Riccaboni a couple weeks ago, and there's just a real feeling, like an atmosphere that I haven't really seen around Ring of Honor in a long time. And I don't know if that's because, you know, fans are back and there's like a rejuvenated, you know, Ring of Honor or what, but it just definitely seems like something great is brewing.
Yeah. And if I could kind of jump on that, because I can tell you exactly what it is just by being in the locker room. And I feel like there's a lot of men and women in that locker room that feel like we've been slighted, because we have been. Ring of Honor put our families and the fans ahead of everything during this pandemic. They said this might hurt us in the short term, but we're going to make sure that we focus on this pandemic. If stuff gets out of control, everyone's going to be bubbled, quarantined, healthy, vaccinated, whatever we need to do. And unfortunately with that means we had to tape these episodes in large chunks at a time. And that means not having fans. And that means, you know, not being live week to week or whatnot. And you're sitting there and a lot of the guys and girls in the back are watching AEW, watching WWE go head to head, making news, all this stuff. And we're sitting there and we're putting on kick-ass pay-per-views where we're super proud of our television product. And everyone's like, no, focus on us, because we're still killing it. And I feel like there's this us versus them mentality, which I think is good. I think it's healthy. We're sitting there and we're saying, oh, you guys are getting the spotlight. Oh, Cody, Bucks, you guys are getting the spotlight. Oh, Vince, Roman, you guys are getting the spotlight. Well, guess what? We're still doing our thing. Ring of Honor has always been at the forefront of professional wrestling. And if you kind of look at like what everybody's doing, they're doing the Ring of Honor style from years past. So we kind of sit there and we go, we invented this game that you guys are playing. So it's time you give us props. And I think we're all kind of rallying behind each other, saying they're not going to forget us. We're going to give them something to remember us by.
And not to mention all those guys who are at the top of these big companies, for the most part, a lot of them came through Ring of Honor at one point. Right. Had like, that's right, where they built their name, you know,
right.
You got a litany of guys in WWE. I'm sure I'm sure you're aware. And of course, a lot of those guys in AEW, right before AEW started, where were they? They were in Ring of Honor. So,
right.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, Ring of Honor definitely has cemented its place in pro wrestling and carved out its spot. And, you know, people has stuck with it since what, 2002 when it started. So yeah.
2002, man. Yep.
So, this is not your first stint in Ring of Honor though. You were a young guy, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like a decade ago when you really first got in, at least with Ring of Honor that I can remember. But how much have you grown, I guess, personally and professionally since then? And how much has things changed in Ring of Honor since then?
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's about a decade. I think I started there in 2010. And so, yeah, it's I'm a completely different person, and I'll be honest with people about that. As just from a personal standpoint and from a performer standpoint, I'm entirely different. I look at wrestling differently. I look at life differently. My priorities in life have completely changed. I have two kids now. I'm clean and sober. Like my life has changed completely for the better. And I think it's also changed better for my wrestling too, because I have an entirely different mentality on wrestling where if you were to ask me 10 years ago what my opinion was on wrestling and how I like to put matches together and what my style is, it's night and day compared to now. I've kind of looked at wrestling as like, we always follow these rules and traditions in wrestling. And they say, well, you have to have a match this way, and you have to start a match out this way, and you need to tell a story a certain way. And if you do this before this, then it doesn't make sense. And I've kind of taken all that and I've literally just chucked it out the window. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do a different style. I'm going to have matches the way I want to have them. I'm not going to fall into these traditions and these so-called rules that we've kind of placed on professional wrestling. I'm going to try to give people something entirely different. And if that works, great. If it doesn't, well, at least I'll go down in a blaze of glory. But it's one of those things where, like, I think it's when you're in the industry, as long as I've been in there, you just kind of, you get to the point where you're confident in what you do, and you're more willing to try out new things and be like, well, wrestling 101 tells me I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't start this match out this way, but maybe wrestling 101 isn't what's best right now. And so, like, I really try to do things people aren't used to, because I think in a certain sense, we get stale with what we do in pro wrestling. We regurgitate storylines, we regurgitate matches, we start everything out the same way. And it's just because we've been spoon-fed these rules and these traditions that I have kind of grown out of and kind of consider bogus. And it's really cool because Ring of Honor gives me the opportunity to do that. And it gives me the freedom to be like, yeah, if you want to try that, if you want to, you know, ding, 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 start this match out with a power bomb, let me see where you go from there. Because in my head, I'm like, I can make that make sense. Let me make it make sense and figure it out. But speaking of Ring of Honor, the way I see it is, I always call Ring of Honor the Law and Order, the TV show of professional wrestling, because like you were mentioning earlier, so many guys are elsewhere now. You know, all these guys that came through Ring of Honor are now in WWE or Impact or AEW. And we've had to continuously replenish the roster. But to me, like Law and Order, the TV show, guys and girls exit the TV show, they refill that position, and the quality of the show continuously stays the same. And I think it's a testament to how good they are at scouting talent. And not only that, but it's a testament to the talent that wants to come and work for Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has always been kind of a hotspot for the best wrestlers in the world. And I think it just shows that it's still where the best wrestlers in the world want to go.
That's a good. I just got an idea in my head though for Ring of Honor to start using the Law and Order theme as like the opening theme. Like, it just works. Law and Order, Ring of Honor, and that blong blong, like that can start every show.
They'll start out in professional wrestling.
Yeah. And just start off every show where somebody is laying on the ground, like somewhere.
Yeah, you know. I love that. How did this person get attacked in the back?
Right, you just find them laying there. So, no, you don't see the fight anymore. You just shoot it from, like, they just pop up. It's like, oh, my God. And you hit the blong-blong, and you go from there.
The courtroom scene is the actual match. That's how you solve the murder.
There you go. We were literally talking about a couple weeks ago on our podcast how, you know, Paul Bearer accused The Undertaker of murdering his brother, and he didn't go to the police with this. They had to have a match at WrestleMania for it, you know?
Hell yeah. Yeah, they had to set each other on fire, I think, a couple months after that. So, yeah.
Exactly. All good. Yeah. Just commit arson. It's all right. This is just, no, we don't settle this in court. We settled it in the worst court than the court itself. It's wrestling. Exactly. WrestleMania. Nick, you had another question for Mike?
I was just wondering, you've talked about how, you know, you're rejuvenated and, you know, you've gotten better at wrestling through the years. And I wonder if, you know, not to stew on the past too much, but, sure, you know, all that time in WWE where they weren't using you and you're just kind of there, does your mind wander of like, how can I be better as a professional to maybe plan your future while you're in the moment? Or are you just like, how does that work for a professional wrestler when you have to deal with that?
You know, I think it's hard because, and this is the hard thing I try to like explain to people, because they always come at you and they're like, well, you asked for your release and then you re-signed and then you did this and then you did that and blah, blah, blah. And they don't want to hear what you have to say. They just want to prove you wrong. They want to prove your point. But it gives me the opportunity. It's like, I wanted WWE to work out so incredibly badly. That was my dream. As a child, I wanted to be a WWE wrestler. And you convince yourself that you can make this work and you can figure it out. And especially when you're in a creative field like pro wrestling, to sit back and watch your peers get to do what you want to do, it's incredibly frustrating. And so you sit there and you continuously say to yourself, all right, what can I do to get better? How can I plan? What can I get in better shape? Can I become a better wrestler? Can I talk to this person? Can I do that? And you're constantly doing that. And then I feel like everyone that's been in that position eventually hits a point where they go, all right, there's really nothing I can do here because the way the structure of the company is just does not allow it. Unless you're Vince McMahon's favorite, you don't have a chance. Like, you just don't. And so I think that was the point where I said to myself, well, that's not really what I fell in love with. I fell in love with the matches and the storylines and the creativity. And clearly, I didn't expect when I got here for that creativity and that storytelling to not be anything. It just, it essentially became, whose ass do you kiss the best? And in my head, I went, that's not what I fell in love with pro wrestling for. And then my wheel started to turn. I'm like, well, what else is out there? And honestly, it was being so stuck at WWE that I started to fall in love with like old school Noah and All Japan Pro Wrestling. And I really dived into the history of New Japan and just Japanese wrestling as a whole. Just kind of, I was like, wow, I love this. And I know that this still goes on. And not only that, I started falling more in love with old school Ring of Honor and watching Nigel versus Brian or Punk versus Joe or AJ versus Joe or just any of these guys. And I was like, that's the style that I want, which is so weird to me considering I worked for that company before. But when I was there before, all I wanted to do was get to WWE because that was the dream. That was the goal. Then right. I got to WWE and I was like, no, I want to go back to Ring of Honor because I love that style now because getting there and achieving the dream wasn't what I thought it would be. So it's like, it's this weird twist and turn, but it's one of those things that I think everybody, like it's not just, you can't just single it out to pro wrestling. I think everyone in life goes through that. I think we do things and we hit certain points where we've either outgrown it or we just kind of move on to a different thing that we fall in love with. You know, I think guys in professional sports find that too. They get to a certain point and they're like, all right, I think my body can still go, but there's really not more I want to achieve here anymore. Like Tony Romo. And then he becomes a fantastic color commentator. You know, it's like, it's very rare to have someone like Tom Brady, who's just like, no, I just love this one thing for as much as I want to do.
Right.
Just go and go and go.
And still like, be great at it.
And like, still be great at it. Hell yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's one of those things where I beat myself up for it for a while. And then I, you know, was talking to my friends outside of wrestling and they're just like, oh, you mean like what I went through last year or what I went through 2 years ago? It's like, oh, so this is just a natural progression of life. Oh, okay. But you know, I really enjoy the place I'm in now because like I get to wrestle the way I want. I get to be creative. I have the creative freedom and it's fun to me again, like genuinely watching these Noah style matches, these All Japan Pro Wrestling style matches and being like, I want to do that. And I have the freedom to do it. And that's awesome.
Before you left WWE, you know, we've seen recently, you know, Finn Balor go back to NXT and kind of have a run there. Samoa Joe now is back in NXT. Was NXT ever an option on the table for you?
Yeah, definitely. So it wasn't. So that was one of the questions I always got, like when I was floundering up on the main roster, they were like, oh, well, you shouldn't have skipped NXT. And I just look at people and be like, it's not my call. I have not my call, guys. If it was my call, I'd be headlining WrestleMania right now. So not my call.
Why not?
I'd be champion right now.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be sitting and catering for the last 2 years. But it's one of those things where the way our contract negotiations worked out at that time, they were like, we're going to send you to the main roster. And who the hell's going to turn that down? And they go straight to the main roster. At that point, you're like, hell yeah, let's do it. But after I had asked for my release and they sat me at home for a little while, I had a really great conversation with Triple H, who I always got along with. I have the utmost respect for that dude. He was one of my favorites growing up, one of my favorite people to work with, so I'll never say anything bad about him.
Another New England guy, too.
Another New England guy, so he's always got a A-plus in my book. But I had a great conversation with him, and it was actually, if you had noticed near the end of my my run at WWE, they were teaming me with Tony Nese, and we were doing that on 205 Live, mm-hmm. and I was doing actually doing NXT house shows, and Triple H was like, well, how about we bring you in, we start, you know, putting you on NXT TV. We need to rebolster this tag team division. And that was one of the ideas. And we were really, like, me and Tony were really clicking on these house shows. We were both kind of doing nothing on 205, doing nothing in WWE. So we were like, this is great. We were really enjoying it. Tony's a fantastic human being, and I get along with him great. And then, you know, come April 2020, boom. It just got the legs just got out and they fired us. But it was in the works. I was excited about it. I think it would have been really cool. But you know, it is what it is. Can't change the past.
Shout out to Tony Nese too. I remember watching Tony Nese independent shows, Hardcore. I think was Tommy Dreamer's promotion, House of Hardcore.
House of Hardcore.
Yeah, and I remember seeing like, and then you watch him. He's in WWE. It's like, damn, like that's crazy. Yeah. And that's when they were signing like everybody, right? And now letting everybody go, unfortunately.
And they let him go too, but I guarantee you he's one of the most like naturally gifted wrestlers I've ever met or been in the ring with. So like he's going to do some good things outside of WWE. I mean, he already did. So it's just pick up where you left off, really.
Right, right. Let's just shift gears a little bit and talk about fans at pro wrestling events. Because something we like to talk about on here is like the importance of having fans at shows. And, you know, I think before the pandemic, people probably didn't recognize, like, yo, fans are like the lifeblood of wrestling. That's like what you do in the ring. You work for the fans a lot of times. You listen to them and stuff like that. But once the pandemic hit, obviously, there are no fans. You had to go to the bubble and there's no one there. Talk about how important from a wrestler standpoint, because we talk about it. We're not wrestlers, but you're a wrestler, obviously. How important are the fans in the stands for you in the ring?
I mean, I honestly believe they're everything. And it's really about where you're going. Because like you can, to me, if you're performing in front of, in a bubble, in front of nobody, you're going to plan your match differently. You're going to plan it because you're not trying to get a reaction. You're not trying to manipulate how the fans listen to you, how they, react to you. You're not trying to get a pop, so to speak. But like when we're trained as pro wrestlers from the very beginning that you start pro wrestling school, you're trained to manipulate a crowd. You're trained to take them on a roller coaster ride. So like to get to that point where you have to kind of throw that playbook out the window and you're like, you're not trying to manipulate a live crowd. You're now trying to manipulate a crowd sitting at home and make that crowd feel your emotions through the barrel of a lens. And it's an entirely different experience. You actually have an entirely different mindset going into these matches. So it's wild. For me personally, I would love to be in front of fans more than doing it in front of no fans, for the sole reason that when you wrestle in front of fans, it hurts way less than if you're wrestling in front of nobody.
Yeah, that adrenaline is pumping. Take that bump and it's like, I don't feel it now because the fans are popping. So
exactly. Yeah. You do a dive out of the ring and nobody catches you, but everyone in the crowd goes nuts. You probably go, and then you're back on your feet. You do a dive and no one catches you in front of nobody. You're like, give me about 5 minutes. Go distract the camera or just cut. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's definitely an entirely different experience.
Right. What is it like, though, because you've worked in front of arenas, you worked in more intimate environments. What are some of the differences in working in those two different types of environments?
You know what? This sounds crazy to a lot of people, but give me a packed ECW arena with 500 people over Gillette Stadium with 80,000 people. Because I'll tell you what, that emotion in front with 500 fans packed into a tiny building, there's nothing like it. It's just those old school Ring of Honor crowds, like the banging on the steel barricades. I'll take that because a lot of things people don't realize, and maybe they do because it's talked about a lot nowadays, but when you're in those giant arenas with no roof or, you know, those football stadiums, you can't hear anything that the crowd's doing because the noise travels up and it just travels out into the sky and you could be killing yourself having the best match of your life. Everyone at home's jumping out of their seats. Everyone in the arena's jumping out of their seats. And you can't tell you can't tell. You have no clue what is happening. You're like, is this the worst match of my life? What is going on? You know, and you just don't know because the sound travels. And I think Triple H always tells the NXT guys that, like, when you get to your first WrestleMania, understand, don't let it screw with your head. You will not think the crowd is into your match, even if they are. You have to trust what you're doing. But I'll tell you what, that feeling of 500 fans chanting, this is awesome, fight forever. Just, you know, I get goosebumps thinking about it now. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that, the ECW arena this weekend, because it's like, there's nothing like that. You actually feel people's real emotions when it's that way. That's why I love the indies, and people think I'm full of it. I'm really not. When you get I'll take 50 screaming, diehard, dedicated fans that are into everything I'll do than 50,000 lukewarm fans, because there's just nothing like it. You try to elicit an emotion, and when you can actually see that emotion, you can feel that emotion because that person is right there in front of you. It's you know, that's the adrenaline rush that everyone loves.
And I can back you up there as a viewer. You know, as much as I love the visual of a packed stadium with thousands of fans, you know, I just turned on ECW one random night when I was like, what, 10 years old, and I was just like, what is this? And it was something different about it, and it hooked me the way the audience was involved. In other ways, it wasn't involved in WCW and WWF at the time. You know, I was a wrestling fan, so I watched different promotions, and my first glimpse of ECW was when Shane Douglas came back and they were in the ECW arena, and I was just like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is a fantastic atmosphere, and it doesn't look big at all. So I, even as a viewer, it gravitated to me.
Yeah, but, and I think it's just a play off that. Like, I think it's one of those things, because I'm the biggest mark of them all. Like, I love wrestling. Like, I grew up a fan. I still am a fan. So, like, I think it's one of those things where wrestling is this weird dichotomy where the fans actually want to be part of the show. And I think if you play that right, and you have the fans feel like they're actually helping someone win, helping someone lose, getting someone over. I think it's what makes these special moments. Like, I honestly believe the Ring of Honor fans believe they're part of the show. And I think that's awesome. Like, they actually think their voice matters. And you know what? In a company like Ring of Honor, it absolutely does. And I think that's the coolest. Like, if I were to go out in the ECW arena and that crowd was going nuts and was chanting next world champ, Ring of Honor would hear that and be like, holy cow, we have something here. And these fans would feel like they were actually willing Ring of Honor to make me world champ. And it's, you can't get that in the big arenas because there's just so much diversity and so much different types of fans. But when you're in there together, you feel like you're part of something special. And I think that's what I've always loved about these indie shows like PWG, or like there's a company down in Texas right now, New Texas Pro Wrestling, has that same exact vibe. I love going down there and wrestling. And I feel like it's what put NXT on the map, and it's what Ring of Honor sort of originated. And I love that emotion and that feeling.
That's 100% true. Like, NXT thrived off of being like a super indie, you know, for many years, and in that intimate environment. Of course, they've done the bigger shows and the arenas and stuff like that, but that's just like they really kind of like encapsulated the vibe that was at like Full Sail into like a big arena somehow at these bigger shows, which was kind of wild to see the 15,000 people act like it's like a smaller venue that you would get in a lot of wrestling shows. But I was going to wrap it up with Mike letting you know that the Patriots are in town. We had joint practices with the Patriots this week.
Oh, snap.
I work for one. You know, we're based out of Philly, and I actually work for the Eagles. So I've been at camp, you know, every day.
Okay.
So funny enough that, so I got to see the Pats up close and personal. Okay. Right. So there's that. And funny enough, the 2300 arena, and I've said this on the podcast many times, so Nick knows where I'm going with this, but 2300 arena, which you will be at this weekend, is actually the place where we got our Super Bowl rings a couple years ago when we beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Why you gotta do that to me, man? I thought this interview was going so well. You know that. You know what? That I'll take that loss over the New York Giants loss on the perfect season. So, like,
I'm sure
that one doesn't even remotely come close to hurting like the other one did. So.
Look, y'all got six other ones to be happy about.
Fair enough. I don't even hate the Eagles. I thought that story was cool. I thought it was a really cool team that year. And you know what? That one didn't bother me nearly as much as the David Tyree catch. I'm still bitter, salty about that one.
And y'all came right back next year and won another one. So
yeah. Of course, you know, and maybe that's why it didn't bother me. I was like, all right, you guys take one for the Eagles. I know we're coming back for another one. Don't you worry.
Well, Mike, thanks for joining us, man. Taking time out of your time with your parents and your family, stuff like that. Say hello to the kids and Maria and the family for us here at the Straight Shooters.
Please.
I'm sure they'll be happy to hear from us here.
My little girl Freddie was asking about you guys. Don't worry.
Oh well, tell her thanks for asking about us. But yeah, thanks for taking time out, man. Your busy schedule, and looking forward to seeing you this weekend at Ring of Honor Glory by Honor 2300 Arena.
Hell yeah, definitely. And if you guys are there and you see me, come up and say hi. I love talking and shooting the shit with people. So please do.
Will do, man. Again, thanks again, man.
Absolutely. You have a good night. Take care of yourselves.
You too.
Thanks.
Listen to the Straight Shooters. This Donnie Wahlberg from WrestleMania 10. And you listening to Vaughn Johnson and Nick Pacone at the Straight Shooters, y'all.